Shadow, mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. As the Shadow, Cranston is gifted with hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible Shadow belongs. Today's story, The Isle of the Living Dead. Margot, Lamont, and Margot's aunt are on a cruise of the West Indies. It is early evening as their ship sails into the harbor of the little island of St. Jude. In spite of the thunderstorm that is in progress, Margot insists that they go ashore. Her aunt refuses. So only Lamont accompanies her as they walk down the ship's gangplank to a waiting launch.
But Lamont, you told me yourself that these tropical storms never last long.
But this is the rainy season, Margot.
Oh.
Look out. One more slip and you'll swim to St. Jude.
Well, I don't see why they don't put escalators on these gangplanks. After all, they have them at the best department stores.
But the best department stores don't float. Yeah? Yeah. Let me help you into the launch. There we are. All right, pilot.
Yes, sir. Hand off your line.
Well, let's go into the pilot's cabin. Get out of the train.
All right.
Go ahead, Margot.
Thanks.
That's it. Good evening. Kind of a rough night for you, isn't it, pilot?
Maybe.
Well, we'll get to shore all right, won't we?
Maybe.
Jolly fellow.
Are you a native of St. Jude?
Yes.
Well, it certainly looks like a beautiful place.
You think so?
Well, I... Yes.
You have been here before?
No, we haven't.
Then wait and see before you talk.
You must be a big help to the Chamber of Commerce.
What's wrong with the island, pilot?
One half of island good. Other half belong to devil.
What do you mean?
Look through window. You see big hill over there?
Oh, yes. I can just barely make it out.
That plantation belonged to Devil Lady, Mrs. Nesbitt.
Devil Lady?
Yes. No one go near her place.
Why not?
You ever hear of zombies?
Zombies?
Zombies, Margot, are supposed to be dead men here in the tropics who walk about with no mind or soul. Native superstition. What about these zombies, Violet? Are there supposed to be zombies on the plantation? Well, answer me.
Now talk to pilot while he steer boat.
He must have read that on a streetcar someplace. Come on, Lamont, let's go out on deck.
Yes, all right.
What do you suppose he meant, Lamont?
About the island? I don't know. Say, isn't that the young girl that played bridge with us on the boat?
Where?
Sitting back there in the stern.
Yes, of course. Betty Fulton. Lamont, she's crying. I wonder what the trouble is.
Well, let's find out.
Hello there. Oh, hello, Margot. Lamont.
Well, anything wrong, Betty?
No. No. That is... I'm leaving the ship.
Why, Betty?
I'm going to the island to look for my fiancé, David Belmont.
Well, that shouldn't be an occasion for sadness.
I'm afraid that something's happened to him. That's why I'm here. That's why I've come to this sinister, terrifying island.
No, Betty. How do you know that something's happened to him?
Well, 6 months ago, he went to New York to find work. I heard from him regularly. And then one day I received a letter telling me that he secured a job on the island of St. Jude.
And what kind of a job?
Something to do with a sugar plantation.
Sugar plantation? Lamont, isn't that the place?
There must be more than one sugar plantation, Margot. What happened next, Betty?
I never heard from him again. I wrote to this steamship company and learned that he had definitely come to St. Jude, so I came to New York and booked passage on the first ship.
But, Betty, there might have been a mix-up in the mails or any number...
No, I've heard too many strange things about the island of St. Jude. Now that I'm here and I feel the mystery of this tropical night, I'm sure something has happened to Dave.
Lamont, listen. What is it?
It's probably a native celebration. Why, of course. Look up there on the hill. See that faint line of lights bobbing along?
Lamont, that's on the plantations the pilot told us about.
Come on, Margo. We'll ask the pilot what all this means.
Oh, Lamont, do you suppose it can be zombies?
I don't suppose anything, yes. Pilot. Pilot, those lights moving along that hillside, what are they?
Lights?
Yes. And what are those drums we're hearing?
I hear no drums.
No drums, but...
I see no lights.
Now, wait a minute. Are those zombies? Are they?
Ask John D. He know. John D. know everything. He say drum means death.
John D. Well, who is John D.?
Well, we'll never learn from this one.
Lamont. Margo. Did you find out what those lights are?
No, Betty.
Oh. Now you know what I mean about the island. It's taken days from me.
Betty, Margo and I have a day and a half to spend on this island. If it leaves your mind, we'll help you look for David. And believe me, we won't give up until he's found.
Lamont, perhaps we should have gotten one of the natives to guard us at the Nesbit plantation.
I couldn't find anyone who'd take the job. All full of superstitious fear. Won't go near the Nesbit place. I even had trouble hiring these saddle horses to make this trip tonight.
Is Mrs. Nesbit the only plantation on the island?
No, Betty. There's one other. If we don't find David tonight, we'll visit there in the morning. Well, look. Look ahead there. Isn't that someone standing in the road?
Yes. Perhaps he can tell us the way.
Get up. Get up there. Come on, we'll talk to him.
This little speed job I'm riding. Certainly must miss the old milk wagon.
I say there. I wonder if you can help us. We're looking for the Nesbit plantation.
Nesbit?
Yes.
Nesbit plantation?
Yes, yes.
Keep away!
Hey, come back here! Come back!
He ran into the underbrush. Did you see his face, Lamont? That weird half-dog face.
Yes.
Do you suppose he was a zombie?
No, please, both of you. Let's not have any more talk about zombies. It's... a drum. The same drum.
Oh, David.
Look, over there through the trees. There's a light.
And there's the plantation.
Well, I hope so. Come on, get up, boy. Come on.
Lamont.
Yes, Margo.
While you were hiring the horses, I asked one of the natives about the zombies and the drums.
Yes?
And he told me that when the tom-toms played, that meant that another body has risen from its grave to wander about the Nesbit plantation.
Oh, of course, that's a native superstition.
Yeah, I wonder.
Look, there's a house right there.
Oh, boy. Oh, yes. Well, we better leave the horses here.
There. Will we find David? Will he be here?
Now, Betty, David's all right. We'll find him.
A grim-looking place, isn't it? Okay, we'll tie the horses to this tree. There we are.
It looks like the front door right over there, Lamont.
Good. Well, let's see what happens.
Lamont, I don't like any part of this business. Quiet here, it's almost like
a graveyard. Isn't that what you meant to say?
No.
Well, it is. It is like a graveyard. Maybe David's graveyard.
I better knock again.
Maybe they just don't...
Quiet, Martha. Oh, good evening. We'd like to see Mrs. Nesbit, please.
Yes?
But are you Mrs. Nesbit?
Yes, I am. Won't you come in?
Well, thank you. This is Miss Lane, Miss Fulton, and I'm Lamont Clinton.
How do you do?
Well, I'm happy to meet all of you. Won't you come in the study?
Well, thank you very much.
Lamont, she isn't at all like
that.
I'm not at all as the natives told you I'd be. Wasn't that what you were going to say, Miss Lane?
Well,
yes, well... The islanders love to talk about anything or anyone. And as I'm a white woman living alone, well, I suppose I'm a good target, that's all.
Mistress, ma'am.
Well?
You need me more?
No, Mondo, you may go.
It's bad night tonight. I keep watch.
Go, Mondo.
I go.
The
Natives are always uneasy in this rainy season.
Yes. Mrs. Nesbitt, I'd like to explain the reason for our late visit tonight.
Yes?
We called on you to learn if you had ever heard of a young man here on the island named David Belmont.
David Belmont? No, I'm afraid I don't know.
Oh, I hope that
there's another plantation on the island. Have you looked for him there?
No, we came to you first.
Well, I wish I could help you, but I'm afraid I can't.
I see. Well, it looks like...
What was that?
It sounds as if it were in this house.
No, couldn't be.
Now listen. That seems to come from under this room.
Now, don't be alarmed. I'll find out what the disturbance is. Mondo? Mondo?
Look! Over there at the window. Someone's looking in. That face, it is me, Owen.
Quiet, you little fool. There's no one at the window. I beg your pardon.
But look, look, all of you. Do you see anyone there?
No. No, I don't.
I know. I saw someone. I know I did.
Now, Betty, Betty, don't, please.
You call mistress, ma'am?
What was that noise, Mondo?
I find Johnsy outside. I chased him away.
But what was the noise beneath the house?
Noise? Beneath house?
Yes, those moons.
That was horses. Rain make them restless tonight.
Oh, of course. I'd forgotten. In this rainy season, we put the horses in the cellar under this room.
Mistress, ma'am, that depends to horses?
Yes, yes. I'm afraid you must excuse me.
Well, of course. We were leaving anyway.
Sorry to disturb you, Mrs. Mistress. Quite all right. Quite all right.
Mistress, ma'am, better tend to horses.
Quick, yes. Yes, Mondo. Good night, Miss Lane. Miss Fulton.
Good night. Thank you anyway for...
Well, that's where I come from. That's known as the Bomb's Rod.
He almost pushed us out there, too. Lamont, did you hear that servant speak of Johnny?
Yes.
And the pilot on the boat spoke of Johnny, too.
Yes, that's right. He said, ask Johnny. Johnny knows everything.
Why do you think Mrs. Nesbitt was so upset about the horses?
Because they're most unusual animals, Betty.
What do you mean, Lamont?
Well, do you remember those moans we heard in the house?
I don't see how I could forget them. Why do you ask?
That was the first time, Margot, I'd ever heard a horse moan with the vocal cord of a human being. Down the street. We can rest there before we go to the other plantation in the morning.
Well, it's almost morning now, isn't it, Lamont?
No, it's only 2 o'clock, Margot.
I suppose it would be too much for us to go to that other plantation tonight.
Well, it'd be quite a journey on a night like this.
But I've got to know something about David soon.
If David isn't at the other plantation, I'd like to pay another visit to our friend, Mrs. Nesbitt.
Why, Lamont?
Oh, boy. Whoa. And we'll leave the horses here. Well... Someone's awake at the local inn.
Lamont, why do you want to go back to the Nesbitt place?
Well, for one thing, I'd like to learn more about those moans that came from her cellar.
They did sound human.
They were human, Margot.
What about this man, Johnny? The one who knows everything.
I very much enjoy meeting him, Margot. Well, shall we go in? Coming, Betty?
Yes. Well, nightlife on St. Jude.
Yeah. It seems to consist of one large bar and piano, two small tables, and some local bar flies.
At least we're out of the rain. Ooh, I don't know whether I want coffee or a clothes wringer.
Margo, I don't know how to thank you both for practically risking pneumonia just for my sake.
Oh, that's all right, Betty. But here, let's not stand here and drip all over the floor. If we must make puddles, let's do it at the table. What's going on over there?
I don't know. There seems to be a crowd gathered around someone at the end of the bar.
Watch him do this one. Eh?
Well, what are we waiting for?
Come on, Eddie.
Look, Lamont. It's kind of attractive since we want to make it.
Yeah.
So what's he up to?
Eyes closed. Swaying back and forth a little.
Look at
Graham
on his face.
He's
saying something, isn't he?
Oh, I can't, old boy. I really can't. Don't you know?
Why, he talks like a talk to
him. So sorry it all went.
Go on, give us some more. That's
Look, he's holding out his card and they're putting money.
More money?
That's odd. Now he's talking in a native voice.
And just a moment ago, he spoke like an Englishman.
Let's find out about this.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Yes?
Who is this man?
Oh, just one of the natives.
Yes, but his speech. First he spoke perfect English, and then he reverted to a guttural native voice.
That's why we're throwing money in his hat. Now, this man is a sort of half-witted drunkard. He's a character around these parts because he's been gifted with a remarkable talent for imitating any sound he hears.
No, I see. I've been told of such cases.
It's rather uncanny when you first hear it.
Yes, I say it is.
Now, look, he's working up in another imitation. You see, he sings.
Hey, I just stuck in here for a quick pick-me-up. Now, don't, for heaven's sake, tell my wife.
He just impersonated Clancy, the storekeeper. It was perfect, too.
Isn't he amazing, Lamont?
Money for Jandy?
Give him some money, Lamont. Let's see what happens.
All right. Jandy, here's some money for you. Jandy, listen to me. Can you talk like Mrs. Nesbitt, the plantation owner?
Mrs. Nesbitt.
Come on, Chandy.
Come on, he's closing his eyes.
Wailing
back and forth.
I think he's
going to
talk.
Listen closely to me, do you hear?
It's Mrs. Nesbitt's voice. Exactly.
This night on, you're my slave. You must obey me. You have your orders, now do as I command.
Come on, who do you suppose you're talking to?
Quiet, Margot, he hasn't finished.
Yes, mistress. Yes, mistress, I do as you command.
Betty, what's the trouble, Betty?
Oh. Young lady, dear.
Where is he? Who, Betty? That man, Jandy.
Why, he's... Where did he go?
He just ran out.
No. And I'll find him. Find him.
Well, what is it, Betty? Why do you want Jandy?
Because that voice that answered Mrs. Nesbitt was my fiancé, Jason.
Yes, mistress, ma'am.
What's that lantern you're carrying? Keep it dry.
Yes, mistress, ma'am.
Rain or no rain, they're going out into the fields and work. Crop will be ruined if they don't. Swine eating my food, carrying for them. Mondo, what's that lantern?
Yes, mistress, ma'am.
All their fault the rains have come, and they'll suffer for it. They'll be punished. You must hurry, Mondo. Drug will wear off. I don't give each another injection.
No. Mondo, no like to be around when you stick needles in men's arms.
Mondo, open that cellar door.
No, make me go in with them.
I said open that cellar door.
No, mistress, ma'am. Not be with man. I open.
Close it quickly. Quiet, you fools. Now listen to me, all of you. I don't expect you to know what I'm saying, but listen anyway. You understand that you're no longer men, you're swine in chains, bound together. Filthy cattle labor in the cane fields under my command. For 2 days now it's rained. Because of that rain, you haven't worked. You've eaten my food, you've gotten my care, or my crops running in the fields.
Please, I can leave here. Mistress, ma'am.
Quiet, Mondo. I only keep all of you alive because I save money using you to labor for me instead of native help. Fortunately, the silly superstition of zombies has kept all people away. And now you've dropped this rain, so I'm going to punish you for it. Before you go to the field, you're going to feel the lash of a whip across your back. You'll see how the twilight...
No, we've got to... Something bad may happen.
You idiot. Come here.
They do not obey.
They must obey. Come here to me. I command you. What was that?
That voice.
They no longer obey your commands, Mrs. Nesbitt.
Who speaks? Who talks to me? Has one of you broken a spell?
I spoke, Mrs. Nesbitt. But I'm not one of your slaves.
Who are you?
Men call me the Shadow.
I see no one. He speaks. I see no one.
I'm standing right beside you, Mondo.
No.
No one beside me.
My hypnotic powers make me invisible to your eyes.
What do you want? Why are you here?
I have come to free these men from the evil spell that you've cast upon them.
No. No, you have no business here. Get out! Get out!
My power frightens you, Mrs. Nesbit. Frightens you because it's far greater than yours.
No, no one has greater power than I. Mondo, tease this man. Listen for the location of his voice and seize him.
Yes, Mondo. Come on. Seize me. No. If you dare.
No, Mondo, no like voice. Mondo, no one to be near voice. Mondo, not away from voice.
Mondo. Mondo, come back here.
Your faithful Mondo has deserted you, Mrs. Nesbit. He's not only deserted you, but he's also locked you in the cellar with the slaves you've so cruelly treated.
Oh, no.
And they're becoming restless, Mrs. Nesbit. Perhaps they feel that the power you hold over them is not as strong as you've led them to believe.
No, let me out of here. Mondo, open that door.
That door will remain locked until you tell me the secret you've used to turn these poor creatures into living dead men. Slaves who move and act like animals.
I can't tell you that.
The men are becoming more restless, Mrs. Nesbit. Soon your power will wear off altogether. And when it does, I must warn you. It would be futile for me to attempt to save you from their mad rage.
No.
Hear them? You haven't much time, Mrs. Nesbit.
You can't keep me locked up in here. You must let me out.
I cannot release you. So you tell me what you've done to these men.
All right, I'll tell you. I've been feeding them a drug. A secret drug that I discovered here on the island.
I thought so. Is there an antidote for that drug?
No, it's not necessary. Unless it's administered daily, the effect wears off. Now, please, let me out of here.
Not yet, Mrs. Nesbit. First, you must tell me who these men are.
Some of them are native. The others are white men that are hired in the state.
And you gave them this drug and put them to work in your fields as slaves, isn't that right?
Yes.
And you created the superstition of zombies and the tom-toms just to keep away anyone who might be curious about your activities.
Yes, run me out of here.
I must learn one more thing. Is one of these men David Belmont? Answer me. Is he among them?
Yes. Help me. Open the door. You promised me, please. Help.
I keep my promise.
Hello. You come to see me in the door. You're bowing my way.
Where?
Shadow, are you over here? Shadow.
I want to thank you again, Mr. Cranston, for all that you've done for Betty and me.
Oh, don't mention it, David. Goodbye, Betty.
Goodbye. And remember, we'll see you soon in the States.
All right,
Betty. Bye-bye.
Watch your step, Mark. I'm getting into the launch.
All aboard, sir. We're going to the ship now.
Well, Lamont, I can't say that I'm sorry to be bidding farewell to the dreamy little isle of St. Jude.
It wasn't dull, Margo.
Oh, I'm glad that the authorities cleared the men of any responsibility for Mrs. Nesbit's death.
Well, it was easy to prove that she died of shock. A shock induced by fear of the living dead men that she herself had created.
Yes. Well, I've settled one point in my mind anyway.
Oh? What's that?
The only zombies that I ever want to see again are the kind they serve in a nightclub in a long, cool glass.